Cape Talk. A world view from London with Adam Gilchrist.
Good morning, Adam Gilchrist. Hope you are well.
Good morning, Lester. I was just looking under my seat here, and you know, I think Bruce has fixed it for me to go to a cricket match at the Oval this evening. I think, yeah, there it is. It's Surrey versus Kent in the T20 Vitality Blast. Yeah, thank you, Bruce.
Well done, well done. We're connected by the power.
He's stalking me, all right?
We're connected by the power of sport. Let's go to the US first in the world view. It's jail for an oath keeper, one of the leaders of the US Capitol riot, the January 6th riot, being convicted and sentenced.
This guy, Stuart Rhodes, has got 18 years in prison, which is a hefty old sentence. I mean, of course, it was a hefty old crime when you think about what does civil war entail? Usually storming a parliament, and that's pretty much what they were doing, seemingly with the former president's encouragement, although that has yet to run its course. But Stuart Rhodes was the founder of the so-called Oath Keepers, who are basically pledged to, quote, protect American democracy and the Constitution and all that. Of course, rather contravening the Constitution in what he did and some of his actions. However, was he absolutely the ringleader? Most of those involved in the riot, and this has absolutely been claimed by the police and ultimately through prosecutors, most of the rioters were just sort of chancers, opportunists milling around thinking, oh, hang on, there's a party going on over there. I mean, if you were passing, you might have thought, hang on, what's that mob doing? I might go and have a look. And you might be one of those people. He was altogether far more organized. But his lawyer and other analysts, and indeed some Republican political leaning, more extremist kind of analysts, have suggested that he's been absolutely made a scapegoat, that he couldn't organize in a brewery, and that maybe this is all, again, a bit of political expediency. Not sure. 18 years in prison. That's hefty, though, isn't it?
Yeah. And then we move to India now. India's democracy dilemma. We touched on it earlier in the show. A $10 million US dollar new parliament in Delhi. It should be inaugurated very soon, but there is some concerns, even political parties boycotting.
Your figures are better than mine. I had it clocked at $120 million.
Oh, wow.
Over 2 billion rands worth of parliament building.
Well, I'll go with your numbers. Really, that's just one report that I was, maybe it was still in construction. The final bill had yet to be invoiced.
Yes, they hadn't put the marble in or the extra bits of glass or something. I mean, I have to say, even if it was $120 million, that would be still about a quarter of what the Scottish Parliament building cost nearly 20 years ago. So they might still have got it at a snip, even if it is 120 million. Anyway, it is a classic president versus prime minister thing. You guys might know a little bit about this. Over the weekend, India's brand spanking new Parliament building is meant to open on Sunday and be inaugurated by the prime minister. But there are plenty on behalf of the president, although not the president himself, who are saying, hang on a moment, it shouldn't be Prime Minister Narendra Modi who's opening this thing. It ought to be the president. 19 opposition parties are going to boycott the ceremony, they say, and not turn up. So what should be a momentous symbol of Indian democracy, and half the MPs won't be there potentially, because they say Mr. Modi's launched a direct assault on democracy. It's a small thing, isn't it, opening a new building, but it really is having some resonance in India.
And then finally, why are they doing this? The destruction of fake champagne seized by the French. What's in the name? It's going to make you jolly anyway.
Well, the French, of course, guard it very closely. Mm. And they indeed have an EU directive that anywhere within the EU, I guess you can get away with it outside, but if you're importing into the EU, if it's champagne, it has to be from Champagne and marked Champagne. So what they've destroyed is actually an enormous amount of so-called champagne soda, 35,000 bottles of a soda drink that originated in Brazil and ended up on French shores, 35,000 bottles of the stuff. The only thing is, I understand the protectionism of if it's champagne, it should be champagne. But this stuff called champagne soda, it's bright yellow label. The stuff itself is bright orange. It looks like Lucozade or Iron Brew or that sort of stuff in a clear glass bottle. Nobody in their right mind could remotely confuse the two things. So on the one hand, yeah, okay, keep champagne, but this is just nonsense, isn't it? In the same way that, after all, feta cheese in Greece is protected and Parmesan in Italy and Stilton in the UK. Mind you, we're all cheese-based, aren't we? It's only France for you that seems to do this whole wine thing. They like to destroy things sometimes in France, don't they? And particularly, how dare anyone come across the French culture like this?
So you're saying that in varsity I was breaking all sorts of laws because we used to get a cheap white wine and we'd use a soda stream. A soda stream machine.
Yeah. And you put bubbles into it.
It was the same thing. It did the job.
Only if you started shipping it en masse to France would I suggest you be. Well, I'm wondering now, I've had champagne truffles, which are a really nice chocolate thing. Are they allowed to be called champagne truffles? Not sure.
Prosecco by any other name, MCC by any other name would make you still feel as good. Adam Gilchrist, enjoy your weekend. Enjoy the cricket. Looking forward to chatting to you on Monday.